Thank you, Richard. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the Gospel of Mark today, to chapter 4 of Mark. We're going to begin reading at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We read, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great wind storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us this Lord's day. We all face storms in our lives, and they come in very different ways, in many different forms. And often, when we least expect them to come, they can be physical. They can overwhelm us, as I remember driving on the M25, and they happened so quickly. Coming back from a conference, an affinity conference, traveling on the northern part of the M25, and suddenly I hit ice on the road. And for what seemed to me to be almost a quarter of a mile, I knew I was out of control. I was sliding on ice that I couldn't even see. And fortunately, just before I hit a huge truck that had hit another truck, the wheels connected with the road, and I was able to swerve and avoid the trucks that were there. But that experience is like the experience that we often get when we don't expect it, a physical car accident, like the time when Judy and I were run over by a big truck in Zimbabwe, and by God's grace, we were saved through that awful sudden storm. Sometimes a physical storm can be when you fall over unexpectedly and maybe break an arm or crack a rib or do some kind of injury. Sometimes a physical storm can be when you are overwhelmed by finances, and out of nowhere, costs come at you, and you have to start paying sometimes beyond what you've even able to afford, and you're feeling overwhelmed by the physical cost of living and life. And those storms can impact our lives in an incredible way. Another way storms come at us unexpectedly is the emotional storm, the storm that we don't even see it coming. We seem to be going along all right, and we wake up one day and we're overwhelmed. We feel depressed, and we don't even know why. We get to a point where we don't feel we can carry any more pressure, and we have an emotional breakdown, they call it, because we just can't do it anymore. We can't carry it anymore, and it's just too much. And then a straw breaks the camel's back. I always think of my dear friend, a pastor down in Epsom, not far from us, who was going along. He always said to me, you know, Ray, I always felt I was a really strong person. Grew up in the estates, came to know the Lord, loved his Bible, loved his theology, loved his Greek, loved his Hebrew, and was strong in his grounding and in his pastoral work. And he just loved the Lord. And he was going through a time, and as happens sometimes in a church, there was a bit of niggle going on and a bit of criticism going on, which can often happen from time to time. And I do thank God that in our church we seem to be very, very blessed in that regard. There's nothing wrong with questioning, but I'm talking about a sort of niggle, a criticism that was sort of in the church at the time where he was. And one day he was setting up tables for the Easter service, the Good Friday service, and he wanted to have a kind of community sort of communion service in the back hall. And a lady came in, and she didn't obviously necessarily want to do that. And she said to him, "Oh, Pastor, we're not going to do that again this year, are we?" And she didn't realize that he was at emotional breaking point. And just that comment at that moment, at that time, just created an emotional breakdown. He just stopped what he was doing. He walked out, and he was in the manse, which was just across the road from the church, and he didn't leave that manse for a whole year just because of that one comment. But what had happened was a build-up, and emotionally he couldn't carry it anymore, and he just snapped and he broke. And sometimes storms aren't only physical, they can be emotional. And that can happen as well. And thank God he's back, he's restored, he's back in the ministry, and he's back on his feet again. But it took a year for him to even walk out and come back and face the situation in the church. Emotional storms can overwhelm us. And then there's spiritual storms. Storms of the nature that you don't even know where they came from. Like Job, and Job didn't understand what was going on behind the scene, but he was being battered. He was being hammered. And God was, in a way, allowing it. God even initiated it, and he didn't even realize why, but it was because he was a godly man. And God was proud of his godliness, and he held him up as an example. And a spiritual storm crashed around Job. The storm that Jesus faced when he was baptized after the height of his baptism. Often say to those who are being baptized, once you're baptized, be ready for the storm, the struggle that comes after it. And that happens. Yeah, that does happen. And it happened with Jesus. He went into the wilderness, and there he had to fight the storm of temptation and the devil. Spiritual storms come when we least expect them, very often. Often after a great success, after a great service, after a great season in the church, and you're not expecting it, a spiritual storm can break over the situation. But what we know is this, that storms have been, are, and will always be a part of life. Ever since we saw the fall, we live in a fallen world. And ever since then, and before Jesus returns to establish the kingdom of heaven eventually on earth and in heaven as it's proclaimed, we will deal with storms in our lives. Storms are a part of life. And as we deal with it, and as we live in this fallen world, we need to learn how to deal with those storms when they come. We need to learn how to manage the storms when they come, and we need to learn how to overcome the storms when we're feeling absolutely overwhelmed. And today's passage leads us and helps us and encourages us and teaches us how to do that. Today's passage begins, and if you look at verse 35 right at the beginning, you'll see this. You'll see that storms, firstly, that storms often strike when we least expect them, and often strike after a calm evening sunset. When things look the most relaxed, when things seem to be going well, when things seem to be normal, that's when storms often will strike. You just have to look at the storms of the Bible to see that. You see that in the story of Noah, don't you? Noah knew a storm was coming. That's why he built the ark. But he didn't know when it was coming. And even on the day, if you look in Genesis and the story in Genesis, when Noah went into the ark and when he moved in with all the animals and his family, and we're told that God himself closed the door, sealed the door of the ark, nothing happened for 7 days. He might have thought, well, this might have been a test of my faith, a bit like Abraham later on. It might have been God was just testing me, because for 7 days they just were still. There was nothing. And only after the 7th day did the rain start to fall, did they begin to hear the rain falling when they were in that ark. And sometimes it's like that with storms in our lives. Things seem calm. Things seem settled. We may be aware of something going on, but it's a lot like that. We don't hear it. We don't see it. Things seem calm before the storm. I've often heard that expression, the calm before the storm. Same thing happened with Jonah, I'm sure, when he was running from God and he got to the port city and he wanted to go to Tarshish and get as far away from Nineveh as he could. He jumped on the ship. At that time, everything seemed normal. They were happy to have a customer, another person, and take him to where he wanted to go. And they set out, and everything was fine before the storm hit them. We see, again, even in the storm of Jesus, as we read it today, that evening had been a beautiful sunset. That day had been a normal day of ministry. From the beginning of the chapter, you read how Jesus got onto the boat early in the morning. And from the boat, he began to teach. And he began to speak to the multitudes. And he spoke to them in parables. The parable of the sower happened on that day. The parable of being a light on a hill happened on that day. All these parables he was teaching through the day. In a part, he was teaching about how important it was to be in a relationship with God. And as evening came, Jesus initiated the crossing over. It was him who said, let us get in the boat and cross over. And they set out, and if you look at that verse, it says, in the evening, everything was calm. And not only did he go, but other little boats were feeling confident enough. The lake was so calm that even the small boats went with them in a convoy. You had a convoy of boats. Now, when he left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Everything looked calm on the evening as they set out. That's how it is with storms. You go across to Acts, and you see Paul getting on the ship. And Paul says, as they prepare to go, he says to the sea captain, beware the calm east wind. Beware of this wind, for it's going to turn into a tempest. Beware of the calm wind before the storm. And very often, we sometimes get seduced to go in a direction of an idea that we may have because everything seems favorable, but it's not favorable. And we don't even realize that there is a storm around the corner. And so, even in the storms of the Bible, you'll see that everything seemed calm before the storm. And so it's like that with our lives. Sometimes we feel everything is in place. Everything looks fine. We're in a good place. We're ready to go. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, a lightning breaks, storm breaks, and we feel overwhelmed. We also see, secondly, that when storms attack, they do arrive. They often come, not as a small little squall rocking us around for a bit before it moves on. Very often the storms, when they come, come as Category 5 hurricanes in our lives. Have you noticed that? Often, when the storms come, they come at a rate that overwhelms us. When Judy and I were in St. Lucia, I might have shared this with you, I'm sure I have, about the storm that came, the tropical storm. We were in this beautiful hotel in a wonderful facility on St. Lucia. And as we were getting ready for the afternoon, evening, we had a sudden alarm warning on our that came to our rooms, and it said, you are to stay in your rooms, you're not to leave your room until the all clear is sounded. And as we sat in our room, a strange noise began to occur outside. And it sounded literally like a jumbo jet engine starting up. It began to get louder and louder and louder as the wind got stronger and stronger. And as we began to look outside, we would see trees literally blown right over onto their sides, trying to sway in the wind, but the wind just stayed louder and louder and longer, and it didn't stop. It just kept going, hour after hour, and we began to see umbrellas going through the air, and we began to see trees falling down, and we began to see the impact of the storm. And the sound, I'll never forget the sound of that storm. It was a screaming wind. And very often, storms, when they come, are like that in our lives, when you least expect them. Remember in June when I went to the hospital, I had a little bit of what I thought was skin cancer, you know. We shared the story and you prayed for me, and I'm grateful for that prayer. And as I went, I was just expecting a routine sort of removal, and I was just expecting to be able to carry on as normal until I got into the hospital and they began to examine and look at what I was dealing with. And within minutes, I realized, I call it a five-alarm fire. They were on the phone. They were taking pictures. They were consulting people. They were organizing me to go. They were organizing me to go through to have biopsies immediately. They were looking for signs of cancer in my body and other places. It was suddenly a storm that I wasn't expecting. And what I realized is when that storm hits, the first thing you realize is you've got no control anymore. You lose control in the storm. The storm overtakes, overwhelms, and that control that you have is gone. Suddenly, you've got no control, and things are moving beyond what you ever expected. That's the nature of a storm when it hits your life. And that's exactly what happened that night on the boat. Because as they were there, they began to get rocked, and they began to get shaken, and they tried, and they would look, and they would see Jesus asleep on the pillow, but the storm got more and more. The wind got louder and louder. The waves got higher and higher. They were losing control, and that's exactly how it feels when the storms of life begin to attack us. And then in verse 38, we see them going to Jesus. In verse 38, we see that they go to Jesus, who seems to be asleep in the storm, who is, to all intents and purposes, asleep in the storm. If you look at that verse in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, you'll see he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. We need to just for a moment stop and say, what's actually going on here? We need to remember that this was a moment in time when Jesus had come, he had given up his glory, and he had come and become a man. But he was still God with us, Emmanuel. But he was a man, and he was tired. He had been ministering from the morning till the night. He had been preaching all day. He was exhausted, emotionally, perhaps spiritually exhausted. He was lying down, and he was fast asleep. Because of his humanity, he was with us. But when you understand the nature of God, you've got to understand this, that no matter that Jesus, the man, Emmanuel, with us in his earthly ministry, was asleep in that boat, you need to know this, that God, the Father, And God, the Son, in that context now, and God, the Holy Spirit, never sleeps nor slumbers, the Bible tells us. And we've got to remember that even though the man Jesus was sleeping in his exhaustion, God the Father of Jesus, the God together with Christ of the Holy Trinity was there over the situation. And no matter what happens, no matter how out of control you feel, no matter how difficult the storm might be, the one thing we need to remember is this, that God never falls asleep. God never falls asleep when it comes to storms. Yes, Jesus, the man, was sleeping. But it may appear sometimes that God is not with us and aware of our situation. It may appear that God sometimes seems to be distant from the storm that we are facing. And that is when we come to the fourth point. And this is the fourth point. When Jesus is asleep or appears to be asleep, or it seems that God is not with us in the fire or in the storm that is overwhelming us, which has got out of control, which is causing us such anxiety and fear and brokenness, we need to, at that point, wake him up. We need to wake him up. Even though he doesn't sleep, we need to wake him up. We need to engage. We need to get his attention. We need to get him involved in the storm, because that is what the disciples did. They went to him and they woke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And in a sense, they were crying out to him for help. And sometimes that is what we've got to do when it seems that God is not with us, when God is distant from us. We've got to wake him up to our situation. And how do we wake him up? How do we wake God up to our situation in our current world when we are being overwhelmed and the storm is crashing around us? How do we do it? Well, first of all, we cry out to God. God will hear the cry of his people. In the agony, in the pain, in the confusion, in the fear, don't be afraid to cry out to God. Was it not God himself who said to Moses, "I have heard the cry of my people, and I have come down to rescue them"? And it's the cry of God's people, the cry of the heart, that God responds to. He will not turn away. His ear is not deaf that it will not hear. His arm is not short that it will not save and come into the storm and to direct and to lead and to give direction. You've got to wake him up. You've got to cry out. God responds to the cry of his people. We've got to pray like never before. We've got to intercede like never before. Fasting and prayer can be a way of waking God to our situation. Praying before God, the fervent with all our heart, laying out our heart before God, coming before God, saying, "Lord, even in confession, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and confess their sin, then I will hear from heaven and I will hear their prayer and I will heal their land." And we've got to confess and say, "Lord, I know I am weak. I know I've messed up. I confess my sin before you, Lord, but in my struggle, Lord, hear my prayer." And in confession and in fasting and in crying out to God, God will hear your prayer. He will engage. He will arise in the storm. And that's what happens. Because in the next verse, we see as they woke him up and they said, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" He arose. He arose to their need. He arose to address the situation. He arose to deal with the storm as they gained his attention, as they woke him up, as they cried out to him. God arose. And that's why I love the hymn we began with this morning. "Low in the grave here lay Jesus, my Savior. low in the tomb. Vainly they watched his bed. Vainly they sealed the tomb. They sealed him in and they watched the dead. Vainly they did that because Christ arose. Even in the storm of his own crucifixion, even in the storm of his own death on the cross, he arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And when we cry out to him, he will arise into our situation. When we confess before him, he will arise into our situation. And when that storm comes, as it will, cry out, Jesus, help me, save me. I need you now. Amen. And in a way, the beginning of confession happens around the communion table. I'm going to invite those leading communion to come on up this morning as we continue with this thought of beginning our prayer and our call to God to come into the storms, even the storm of Brexit and all that's going on, into our community. And let's begin with a quiet prayer of repentance and getting right in communion. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ are welcome now to partake in the table.